Grateful that you're here today, and I pray that the Lord through his word will speak to all of us this morning. This is one of the most unique passages of scripture that I know of in the Old Testament, and I'm excited about sharing it with you this morning. So if you brought a Bible with you, or if you want to get one out of the pew there in front of you, 2 Kings chapter 6. Going to begin with verse 8, 2 Kings chapter 6. And as you're looking that up, all I can say is it's going to be one incredible day when we get to see our Lord Jesus face to face. I love the song, I Can Only Imagine. We don't know what we're going to do. We're going to fall on our knees, or if we're going to jump up and down like a 7-year-old shortstop. I'm not sure. But it's all going to be good. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning with verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God, they're speaking of Elisha here, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God had told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. And therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Would you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you for the privilege that we have today to worship together, for the good singing that we've experienced, Lord, for the fellowship, for the time together and the prayer. Father, I pray that you would be glorified in all the things that we say and do here, Father. And I thank you for each and every individual person that's here today. I pray that your spirit, Lord, would make your word real. And Father, as we share this passage of Scripture today, Lord, I pray that there would be no distractions, that we would be able to hear you clearly as you speak to us. Thank you so much, Lord, for loving us and taking such good care of us. And we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Warfare between the Syrians and the Israelites was common during this period of time. I'll just give you a little bit of history there. Time after time, the Israelite king and his forces were basically delivered from any kind of an ambush. And it was because of the prophet Elisha. Elisha had been in touch with God. He knew God very well. God knew him. He knew he was his man. And Elisha had this unique ability to be able to understand things before they ever even happened. You know, and it was by divine revelation. Make sure you understand this, that he wasn't some kind of a holy man or something along those lines. He was given divine revelation so that he knew ahead of time what the Syrian king's plans were. And I thought the comment there in that particular verse where it talks about he even knows the words that you speak in your bedchamber, that would be scary, wouldn't it? That he knows in advance. So he was the counsel to the king of Israel about the affairs of the Syrians and what they were planning on doing. And it wouldn't be hard to have some kind of a defense if you knew in advance what the moves of your enemy was going to be. So Elisha's aide to the king, I think it was Jehoram, it became common knowledge, and it was duly reported to the Aramean king, or to the Syrian king, who had suspected, basically, that there was a traitor in his group. And that's what he had said. You know, I need to know who it is that's for the king of Israel, because it was frustrating him every time he wanted to make a move. It seemed like that Israel was prepared for that move, and they were prepared because they had been given information from Elisha, who had been given information by divine revelation from God. So the king of Syria was, just to say, frustrated. He thought he had a spy in the camp, and he quizzed his people about that. Well, who is it that's here that's actually working for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, "None. You know, you don't have to worry about this. The problem guy is Elisha. He's your trouble. He's the problem. He's the prophet that is in Israel. And he's telling the king of Israel everything that you have planned. He even knows well enough to be able to realize that what you speak, even in your bedchamber. So the king says to him in verse 13, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "He is in Dothan." Now, Richard, that's not Alabama, okay? Just so you know, we're not talking about Dothan, Alabama. Just want to clear that up. I don't want you to be confused here, okay? I love this guy. I have to mess with him on a regular basis, but you know how that works. Sorry about the commercial. I had to do it. It was just important for me to do that. "Therefore sent he thither," verse 14, "horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." So here's the deal. When the king of Syria finds out, the Syrian forces find out that it's Elisha who's given up his secrets. It's Elisha who's informing the king of Israel about their movements. It seems like all of his work is being canceled out simply because he knows, and the king of Israel knows in advance, God is protecting him through the revelations being given to Elisha and being passed on to the king of Israel. So the Syrian king says, "You need to go get this guy. We have to put a stop to this. You need to go where he's at, and then you need to come back and tell me where he is so that we basically might fetch him or bring him back to us. We need to stop this." And it was told to him that he was in a place called Dothan. So verse 14 says, "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." So, you know, that's what he did. Why would he do that, you know, so that he might be trapped? Why would Elisha, knowing that the king of Syria or the Syrian forces had planned on doing that, why would he go there and stay? He's already got prior knowledge to what his movements are. So why in the world would Elisha go there and stay in that particular place where he could actually allow himself to be trapped? Well, the question really is, but guess who's going to wind up being trapped when all this is said and done? If you already know what God wants and God leads you to a certain place, maybe it would be best to stay there. You know, so this entrapment is going to work out ultimately for the glory of God. Isn't it interesting how sometimes God allows you and I to go to certain places or have certain things happen in our life, and then ultimately we might pray to him and ask him for forgiveness or ask him for assistance or ask him to be rescued or whatever the case might be in our life. And when that happens, then God gets the glory. We get a little bit bigger picture, a little bit better picture of who God is and what he's all about. And I find it interesting. You know, it's for his own good. It's a lot like Israel and their experience at the Red Sea. If you remember that, in the book of Exodus, they were slaves in Egypt. And Moses came up there and spoke to the Pharaoh, and a bunch of plagues came upon them, and ultimately they let them go. And as they marched out of Egypt with all kinds of stuff in their hands, they continued to march down. They got down to the Red Sea, and they had nowhere to go. The Egyptian army was behind them, pursuing them, and the Red Sea was in front of them, and the desert was on one side of them, and back toward where they just came from was on the opposite side of that. So they were really trapped. They had nowhere to go. But you know what God did there? You've read the story. He opened up the Red Sea, and the children of Israel crossed on dry ground, and then the Egyptian army followed them, and they were drowned in the sea. So we get an understanding here that Elisha knows apparently in advance what it is God's up to, and he's going to reveal something to his servant and for anyone who would want to see. That is amazing. It's just, I love this story. The more I read it, the better I like it. So they're out there and they have surrounded the city. They have horses and chariots, and they have a great host of people. And they came in, it says, the word of God says, they came in at night. So when the servant of Elisha got up in the morning, in verse 15, and he goes out, what he sees is this tremendous host that's got the city all surrounded with all these horses and chariots. That's verse 15. And now he's very much concerned. So he goes to Elisha, and well, King James says, "Alas, master, how shall we do?" It's in 21st century jargon. It's like, oh my, what are we going to do now? The whole place is surrounded by horses. It's surrounded by chariots. There's a host of soldiers out there, and they are trapped, so to speak, in the city at Dothan. And I absolutely love Elisha's answer. Verse 16, my friends, is worth the entire price of admission, so to speak. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Well, how's that possible? Because you see, this servant doesn't see anything at all. All he sees is the surrounding army and the horses and the chariots. Y'all know who the Lone Ranger and Tonto is, don't you? You've seen that growing up, okay? Well, I'm reminded that one time the Lone Ranger and Tonto was sitting in the middle of this big valley. And all of a sudden, before they could imagine what was going on, they looked around and to the south there was nothing but Indians. And to the north there was nothing but Indians. And to the east there was nothing but Indians. And to the west there was nothing but Indians. And Lone Ranger got really distracted by all that and a little bit stressed out. And he looked over at Tonto and he said, well, what are we going to do now? And Tonto looked at him and said, what do you mean me? What do you mean we, white man? Not a good place to be. This is the situation that you see here that the servant said, what are we going to do? How are we going to survive this process? And Elisha said, you don't need to be afraid. And those are the words of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Now, if you were surrounded, let's get real for a second. If you were surrounded by an army and chariots and horses, and you felt like you were trapped in this little place called Dothan, would you not be concerned? Would there not be some level of fear in you? And Elisha's words were just calm and simple. He didn't go, oh my gosh, I have no idea what we're going to do now. You don't read that in Scripture anywhere. What he said was, don't fear not. Don't be afraid. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, the testimony of the Word of God is that nothing in the vision of the servant sees more. So Elijah's going to have to do something pretty special here. Verse 17 says, and Elisha prayed, and he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now that's a completely different situation, isn't it? The servant doesn't see anything to begin with, and he becomes afraid. And Elisha said, you don't have to worry about it. Do not be afraid. How are we going to do? How are we going to get through this process? Elisha said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, because those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And I love 1 John 4, verse 4. Greater is he, help me church, that is in me than he that is in the world. That's the words of our Lord. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Elisha is going to show the servant there's way more for us here today than there is against us. And what is it Jesus said? You know, that you, if God be for us, who's going to be against us? If God's on our side, who can stand against us? So it's a beautiful principle here. Elijah just has a simple prayer. And he prays that the Lord would open the eyes of his servant so that he could see what Elisha is seeing. You say, well, this is a great story, but what's that got to do with me in 21st century America? What's that got to do with me here in Auburndale on a Sunday morning at the end of August in 2019? I would say it has to do everything with what you're here for. Because if you and I have this experience and we don't see God or we don't hear from God, I'm not talking about a visual of his form, but if we don't see God actively taking place in what's going on here, we're missing our opportunity. Do you come here to hear from God, or do you just come here? Are we here to be challenged? Are we here to hear? Are we here to see? Are we here to be motivated? Or are we just here? And that becomes a real simple question here. I believe that Elisha put himself in this position so that he could show this particular servant that even though you think you might be walking this path by yourself, all you think, you might think that there's way more of them standing against you than who, than the ones that are standing for you. Elisha's helping him to understand there's powers for you and I that belong to God. Although we can't see them, they're absolutely there. Do you believe that God is with you every second of your life? Do you believe that he knows exactly who you are every day of your life? And do we believe that we're never going to be by ourselves because of our relationship with Christ? That's the testimony of the Word of God. That's not my testimony. God said we'll never be left alone. That doesn't mean we won't have trials. That doesn't mean we won't have struggles. That doesn't mean we won't have illness. But we're never going to be by ourselves. And the beautiful part about this passage of Scripture is Elisha is telling this young man, listen, open your eyes. He prayed to the Lord that the Lord would allow him to open his eyes so that he could see. And brothers and sisters, I think that's excellent counsel. You ever feel like when you're going through a major trial, you're by yourself? You ever felt like the struggle that you have, maybe nobody else has ever felt that struggle who has ever been through that process like you've been through it? Do you ever feel like you're alone in every way, form, or fashion? You know, how often we need our eyes to be open so that we can see clearly what we're facing and that we can be reminded that we are never alone. I don't know how that speaks to you, but it sure does speak to me. To know that no matter what kind of struggle, no matter what kind of issue, no matter what kind of a problem or trouble I have, let me rephrase that. I'm sorry, scratch problem, opportunity. I'm not by myself. The Psalms are absolutely full of prayer from David and others who called out to God in their most difficult moments, and God reminded them, you are not by yourself. I am here for you. David poured out his heart on a regular basis, and you'll hear a little bit more about that tonight. We'll be talking about some really special Psalms that David wrote. So Elisha prayed, Lord, please open his eyes so that he could see what I see. And I believe with all my heart that that's part of why we're here. That's part of why we're here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. That as we open the Word of God, he speaks to you and I through his Word. He reveals himself to you and I through his Word. And we get to hear the Word of God. We get to sing the great songs of the faith. We get to fellowship together as the family of God. We get to have this wonderful corporate worship experience as the church. And we get to love on one another and shake each other's hands and hug each other's necks and laugh and enjoy our times together. And I believe that sometimes Satan would love to do to us what this young man had happened to him. He could only see the enemy. All he could see was what was wrong. Here we are, Elisha, and we are completely surrounded by our enemy. And what in the world are we going to do now? And church, I'm sure you're keenly aware that what we do as Christians is not very much appreciated in this world. What we do as a church is not very highly thought of in the culture that we live in today. You know, we know what kind of a mess our country is in more ways than one. We begin to realize that the culture that we live in would want to discourage us from ever even trusting in God, or maybe even for some, not even believing that there is a God that would care, or if he's there, he couldn't possibly care because of the mess that we find ourselves in. And I think that you and I as Christians need to be the wake-up call for the rest of this culture, that not only is there a God, but there's a God who is there, and there is a God who cares, and there is a God who loves us, and there's a God who wants us to see Him and to hear Him and to understand Him and to follow Him, to trust Him, to believe in Him, to live for Him, and that He will always be there for you and I, no matter what kind of struggle we find ourselves in. And I think that's so very, very important. Verse 18 says, "And when they came down to him," that's that group of chariots and horses and men that were up there, they came down to him. "Elisha prayed unto the Lord, and he said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha." So after he opened the servant's eyes, those group of people that was there surrounding him came down to him, became very real to the servant that, yes, God is here. God is taking care of us. You know, they weren't there for show. They weren't there to be seen. They weren't there to be praised. They weren't there to be elevated. They were there to as a reminder that you're not by yourself, Elisha. And Elisha knew that. And I think it's amazing that we get to see this in Scripture here. You know, he said to them, it said to the Lord, smite them with blindness. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, Lord, smite them with blindness so that we can slay them and they won't be able to see us. They came here as our enemies. They came here to destroy us. They came here to cause hardship for us. But here's what I would wish that you would do to those folks. I wish that you would make them blind. Verse 19 says, "And Elisha said unto them," you know, I'm sorry, I missed the verse. Let me go back and hit 18. "And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. So Elisha said, you know, the guy that you're after is not here, but if you'll follow me, I'll take you to him. And he began to lead them away, and it came to pass, he said, when they were come into Samaria, verse 20, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. So Elisha led them away. He led them away to a city in Israel, about 10 miles from where they were. They were blind. They could not see anything at all. He led them away. And when he prayed that God would open their eyes, God opened their eyes, and they found themselves in the city of Samaria. And what was going to wind up here is, I would imagine, there was great fear in their hearts because they figured they were going to be, destroyed there. And that's pretty much what the king of Israel wanted. Look at verse 21. "And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with the bow? Get this, set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." That wouldn't be what we would expect, would it? He leads them away. What they planned to do did not happen. What they expected to happen would be that they would die. They did not. King of Israel said, "Shall we kill them?" Twice. Yeah. "Shall we kill them? Shall we kill them? That's the plan, isn't it? We're going to kill them. We let them away. We have them captive. They're now captive to us. They thought they had us entrapped. Now we have them entrapped. So the next step is we're supposed to kill the enemy, right?" You don't expect this when you read it in the Old Testament, because much of the Old Testament talks about conquering places and killing everybody and everything drawing breath. And when you see this, it becomes rare in the Old Testament world, but it's here. The king said, "Kill him." Elisha said, "No. You wouldn't do that. You didn't do that to the others that you conquered with the bow and with the sword. So why would you do that now? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to feed them with bread. We're going to feed them with drink. And we're going to cut them loose to go to their master." So after safely inside of Samaria, you know, Elisha prayed that those guys could see, and they were able to see. And he once again said, it's not the right thing for us to kill them. The right thing for us to do would be to feed them and then let them go back to their homes. So great provision was made there for them, and basically they were sent away. My dad used to say to me, I get so mad. One of my friends used to love to either squirt me with a water hose or throw a bucket of water on me, and I would get so mad, just red-faced, kind of angry. And I ain't been in very many fights in my life, but one or two of those was because of that water with my friend, who was my best friend at the time. At certain moments, he was my best friend. And other moments, he was my enemy. If he had a water hose, we weren't best friends. But I came home one day, and I was fuming. Oh, I was livid, because I was very wet. And my dad said, oh, Johnny got you with the hose again, huh? And I can't recall exactly what I said, but it wasn't pleasant. And he said, well, you know what? You just need to kill him with some kindness. When you're 8 or 9 years old, killing somebody with kindness does not compute. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me, really? You want me to What are you talking about? He just squirted me down with a water hose. He said, did you laugh? No, I didn't laugh. I was angry. Well, here's the next thing you're supposed to do. Next time you go playing with Johnny, and I'm sure that'll be soon, when he squirts you with the water hose, stand there and laugh with him. Why would I do that? Because it will steal his thunder, and you can kill him with kindness. As an 8 or 9 year old, that does not compute at all. The only thing you want to do is find a stick and beat the wadding out of him. And the next time he squirted me, I don't know why, for some crazy reason, that my dad's words came in my head. And I stood there and started laughing like a silly little boy. And he just kept squirting me. And I just kept laughing. And then he quit. And he said, don't that make you mad? I said, well, it used to, but we'll just have some fun here. Give me the hose. No, you're not going to get the hose. I know that's a juvenile version of what we're talking about here in 2 Kings, a very juvenile version. But the thing about it is that Elisha sees the bigger picture. Elisha sees that those people who agitate us and irritate us, and they may wind up being a thorn in our side, there are times when you and I need to recognize the bigger picture, and we need to pray for them. We need to release them from whatever anger or frustration or bitterness that might come our way. Listen, let's just get real. Sometimes we don't have a filter in what we say. Sometimes we don't have a boundary in what we do. Sometimes we say and do some things that are hurtful to people. These guys came with a vengeance to kill the Israelites, king and all. And Elisha got the upper hand. And where this came from had to have been from God, because his leader said, shouldn't we kill them? And Elijah said, no, that's not the right thing to do at all. What you should do is give them something to eat and give them something to drink and cut them loose. Does that make sense? But notice how this goes. Look at verse 23. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. But listen to the last part of verse 23. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Oh, wow. You mean there's something good that comes from me treating somebody that wants to do me harm in the right way? There's something positive that comes out of that? You mean if I kill you with kindness, there's an advantage there? I'm believing so. If I treat you right in spite of the way you've treated me, is God going to help me out with that? Is God going to honor that in my life? Did not Jesus say, be good to those who despitefully use you? Is not that the words of Jesus in so many words? You know, Jesus said, love your enemies and do good to those who spitefully use you. And once again, we're reminded that greater is he who is in you than he who is in me. You see, ultimately, the message is that, look, I'm God and I got this fight, okay? I got this. It's on me. I'll fight. The battle is the Lord's. And what he wants us to do is to see very clearly. The same prayer that Elisha had for this group, for his servant here, is the same prayer that you and I should have. Lord, please open my eyes to what you're doing. Open my eyes to what you're allowing to happen in my life. Open my eyes to the opportunity that I have to grow in the middle of all of this. Listen, it's painful when somebody speaks ugly to you. It's painful when somebody does ugly to you or wrong by you. And nobody would know this any better than Jesus, would they? And they were all over him all the time. Religious leadership wanted him dead. Roman government wanted him dead. They got together and ultimately they managed to get that accomplished. Yeah, but on the third day he showed them, didn't he? He rose from the dead because he's Jesus and he's God and he can do that. You know, Elisha just wanted this servant to see the bigger picture. And I think sometimes you and I need to see the bigger picture. We need to realize that we need to step up every now and then and rise above some of the things that take place in our life. We need to ask God to help me. Help me, Lord, to see clearly what it is you would expect me to do. Help me to understand the next step in the process. Open my eyes that I might see. And I've often heard that there's none so blind as those who refuse to see. Now listen, we're drawing breath just like you are. Everybody draws breath. We live on the same planet. We suffer with the same kinds of problems and issues. We all got family. We all got friends. We all got issues. We all got opportunities. We have things that we can do. And I think this is a beautiful example in the Old Testament here for Elisha, who's simply saying, listen, there's a benefit for doing the right thing. There's a benefit for acting the right way. There's a benefit for speaking the right way. And even more than that, there's a benefit for those that can say, I'm going to do right, although you might have done me wrong, I'm going to do right. I love the passage of Scripture. I think it's priceless. I think the Lord wants us to see clearly. I believe that so many times we really and truly don't see God's hand in our daily affairs. I think we're so into being us that sometimes we fail to see his hand. I'm afraid that sometimes we don't search out or accept the counsel of God's word. Why is it that we constantly support and encourage believers to find a place somewhere in a Sunday school class where the word of God is taught? Now listen, I'm not going to beat you up about this, but I need you to understand something. There's not a person in this building that doesn't need this word engrafted into their heart. You're never going to grow above needing to be somewhere where you can hear the word of God taught, where you can hear the word of God sung, where you can hear it prayed, where you can hear it preached, where you can share it personally. And I believe that sometimes we don't see God. We don't see God clearly in the middle of the process because we're not looking in the right place. God speaks to you and I through his word. Now, I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit makes the word of God real in the lives of those who are that come to the church, come to services like this to genuinely listen. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I honestly mean it from my heart. If my voice is the only voice that you hear during this preaching, then you got cheated. because I have no power, none whatsoever, to help change how you believe and how you walk on a daily basis and how you think. I'm related to the one who does, and I want to share that with you. We need his word. We need to see God's hand. Sometimes I'm afraid we don't listen to the warnings of a friend. Elisha said, you just don't see the big picture. Just hang on. Just hang on. There's way more for us than there is against us. And then his next prayer was, God, notice it. He didn't say, God, help this dummy to see something. He didn't pray that, did he? He said, God, just open his eyes like you've opened my eyes. Help him to see, Lord, what you've let me see. And that's kind of the value of a friendship, isn't it? Somebody who might come up and just put their arm around your shoulder and say, hey, look here. What you did was inappropriate. How you spoke was wrong. How you acting, it's just not right. Sometimes we don't listen to the warning of a friend. We don't open our eyes. Sometimes we don't learn from the mistakes of others. Well, I make plenty of my own, but every now and then it'd be nice to know that if I paid close attention, if I got my eyes open, that God could teach me. Sadly enough, from the mistakes of others. And we need to be aware when you see somebody heading down the wrong road and you know it's the wrong road. The best thing you can do is lovingly counsel that person, and hopefully if that mistake has already been made, that we would open our eyes and realize this is not a place for me to be. This is not a place I need to go. This is not something I need to be involved in. And finally, sometimes I don't know that we anticipate the consequences of our poor choices. We don't anticipate the consequences that come from keeping our eyes shut. It's like we're asleep at the wheel sometimes, and we wander through life wondering where God is and what God's doing in my life. If I'm not looking for him, I'm not expecting anything to happen. I didn't come here expecting God to do something special in my heart. Guess what? It's probably not going to happen. Now, I hope and pray, church, that you come here with an expectation to hear from the Lord Jesus and inviting the Holy Spirit to make that message real to you. It's so easy to be asleep at the wheel and to be in great fear of our enemies and those who don't like us. And I tell you what, we sing this song on a regular basis. Victory in Jesus. That's where our victory is. It is in Jesus. Our spiritual battle is with forces of evil. We have protection and power that was given to us by our God. He is our ally through the prayers of faith and through understanding what the Lord wants us to understand. We can open our eyes and we can open our hearts to the reassuring fact that he is forever at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I, protecting us, defending us, and frustrating all the things that Satan would want to do in our lives. God is for us, church, and he wants us to open our eyes and to see clearly. Many of you know that my wife and I spent 12 years at First Baptist at the mall. That's where we were when I came here to supply and ultimately came here as your pastor. And it was a really good experience. I learned a lot while I was there. While I was there, Jay Dennis was the pastor. He is no longer pastor there, but he was at the church for his daughter Emily's wedding. And they were in the parking lot, and he was dehydrated pretty bad. And he passed out. And when he fell and hit the ground, it broke his glasses and caused him to have 12 stitches in his forehead. And he had a pretty bad concussion. And at the time, to try to keep his mouth moist, he had been chewing some gum. And when he fell and it knocked him out, that gum got stuck in his throat. And he couldn't breathe. He was choking because of the gum stuck in his throat. And there was a young man there that began to beat on his chest and to dislodge that and ultimately saved his life. And the interesting thing about all this is that when he tells that story, what he said was earlier that morning when he got up, he said, I sensed a very, very strong satanic spirit. And he said, I literally believed that Satan was trying to kill me on this particular day. And he almost made it happen. And Jay went on basically to share with us that he was aware of the oppression of evil. He was aware that there were bad things going on and could be even worse things going on. And one of the points that he made was, yeah, life has some scary moments. Life has some times when we don't expect things to happen. Life has some moments that God has provided for you and I, like opportunities when we come to church, like opportunities when we sit in a Bible study, whether it's in a home or whether it's a Sunday school class or a special conference that we go to. God has created times for you and I that we might open our eyes and realize and recognize that the evil in this world is going to stand against us. The evil in this world is going to cause you to want to quit doing what you're doing on a regular basis. It's going to want you to say, I don't need church, I don't need Sunday school, and I don't need to be aware. I'm good. I've lived this long. I can continue to live just like I've been living. And I'm just saying to you from the love, because I love you and I appreciate you, please be careful. It would be really easy for you and I to stand there just like this servant, and all we could see would be the forces of evil that stood against us. I would pray that God would open all our eyes, that we could see the great forces of our Savior that stand for us. And because of that, we can celebrate. I hope and pray that your eyes are open wide, not only through the hard times, but through the good times as well, that you pay close attention to the things that the Lord wants to teach you, that you learn from each other, that we continue to move forward, that we be the kind of people that would simply say, Lord, I want to invite you to open my eyes so that I can see clearly what it is you intend to do. Maybe that eye-opening process for you this morning would be you need to be saved. You'd be very real with me and simply say, Brother Kenny, if I died on my way home today, I wouldn't know whether or not I'm going to go to heaven or not. Don't take that risk. Nail that down this morning. Come down here and let's pray together. Let's get that nailed down. Maybe you're here and you want to join this church. You've been watching it for a while. It's time to join. We will be gladly accept you as a member here. Maybe you need some altar time. Maybe you've been looking in the wrong direction. Maybe all you can see is the forces that are standing against you. Well, I would encourage you to see the bigger picture and realize that you're not by yourself. Whatever the case might be, you do as the Spirit leads you. Stand with me as we pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all you are and all that you do. Thank you for guys like Elisha who had great faith in you, that you could be trusted at every moment. And God, it's the same today. You can be trusted in every moment. If there is conviction going on here this morning, Father, I pray that those that have that conviction would be encouraged to step out and do the right thing. We love you. We thank you so much for loving us. And we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 307.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
This is Terry and Tammy Hubbard, and they both have come this morning wanting us to know that they have received Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they are desiring membership in the church by baptism. You guys are part of the West Side gang, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
And I'm loving that. You know, pretty soon we're going to have them all, and I love that. Thanks for those of you who've been ministering down there. They've been really, really faithful, and I talked with Tammy earlier in the week, and there's no issue with salvation for either one of these. And this is a surprise. I didn't know Terry was going to do this. I knew Tammy was going to do this, but we talked earlier today, and they both want to come and become full-fledged, card-toted members of Lena Vista Baptist Church by baptism. So what is the desires of the church? Is anyone opposed to that process by the like sign? I don't hear nobody. I think this is all good. Well, church, know this. God is at work. All the time. Every moment. Whether we see it or whether we don't. I'm loving the process. God is sending us people. God is blessing us. So let's just continue as a church to put ourselves in a position that we can continue to be blessed and for His glory and ultimately for our growth. What I'm going to ask you to do, I'm excited about this. You can't tell me. But Brother Rick's sitting right out there. Go down there and tell him to get up. He'll stand with you right there, and we will let this family greet you on the way out the door. So if you'll make your way down there, I will go with you. Thank you. That's great. Awesome. Oh, yeah, by the way, I forgot. We have church at 6 o'clock. And there's room for all of you. Everybody. Even the back corner back there. We'll bring you up front or whatever the case might be. No, I love you guys. Thank you.
Let's all stand and be dismissed. Brother Paul, will you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you gave your son to us, Lord, that again, you accept this man of salvation. We do have this.